Hello, this is the Newborn Nurse Podcast, and I'm your host, Rachel Ramsey, RN, BSN. This podcast is for expectant and new mothers and families, and we are here to share with you a list of incredible newborn resources, services, professionals, and tips and tricks. We hope the info on this podcast informs you, helps you, and most of all, eases any anxieties, gives you confidence, and empowers you to be the best parent possible. Knowledge really is power, and we are here to inform and guide you through this season with your new baby. I am your host, Rachel Ramsey. I am a registered nurse and certified postpartum doula. I have 17 years of professional neonatal and maternal nursing experience and 5 years as the owner of The Newborn Nurse, a Nashville-based service that provides in-home care and newborn education to new families. I hope this podcast helps each of you in some big or small way. Biggest of congratulations and thanks for listening. You've got this, Mama, and we are here for you. As a reminder, any information you hear on this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment. Please see the full disclaimer on our website for more details. Website is listed in show notes. Hey guys, it's Rachel back from The Newborn Nurse, and today we have a very special guest. We have Dr. Libby Long. She is a pediatrician, and I have worked with her for over, 14 or 15 years. She's a wonderful wealth of knowledge, and we're going to get to ask her some fun questions today. So to get started, I'd love to ask you, just tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been a pediatrician, and what is your favorite thing about being a pediatrician?
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited. I've been an avid fan of The Newborn Nurse for a long time, following you religiously on Instagram, and love all the information and services that you've provided. And it's fun to watch you continue to grow. I am a pediatrician. I've been a pediatrician for 19 years. I don't really like the math involved in that, but it has gone by very quickly. My path to pediatrics was pretty straight line. You know, I was fortunate in that in high school, I already kind of knew that I was interested in medicine. And so took kind of the path of doing 4 years of college, 4 years of medical school, and then doing my pediatric residency in Miami, which is 3 years. And then have had some opportunities to do some emergency room work as well as hospital work where I was dealing just with hospitalized children. And then landed in my forever home, Murfreesboro, where I'm very honored to be able to treat a lot of children, you know, who are my neighbors. The best thing, well, there's so many things that are great about pediatrics. And just today, it's like there's always somebody who will make you laugh. Every day I laugh like energetically because the child will do something that is just so cute or so funny. And they are not self-conscious and they're unbelievably honest, which I love. And kids want to get better and they get better. They want to get better as quickly as they can. They want to get back to playing. And so it's an amazing field to work in. I feel very blessed that my interest has blossomed into this career.
Yeah. Kids are very refreshing for sure. And you are a mom yourself. You're a little girl. Well, she's not a little girl anymore. She's 15. And I remember when she was a tiny little baby when I first started working with you. And I just can't believe how quickly she has grown. Also, one other thing, what is one of your favorite things to do here in the Nashville area?
So Nashville is fun. I mean, there's just so many opportunities to do so many things. I like to be outdoors, really enjoy playing tennis. I'm new to golf and that's going horribly, but I do love it.
By the way, we should go play sometime together.
We should.
We should.
I'll put that on my calendar. It's only going to take us maybe about 10 hours to complete 18 holes. But the thing that I really like about the community that we live in here in Middle Tennessee is just that, the sense of community and everybody wanting to help one another. So I really enjoy being involved in several different organizations. You know, St. Thomas Rutherford has a foundation board that I'm involved in, and we do lots of different things in the community to raise funds. As well as Charity Circle of Murfreesboro. It's been part of our community for over 100 years. And so, you know, really being involved in that way, meeting people outside of my work and learning what they do and what they're excited about certainly, you know, refreshes me and fills me up every day to have those opportunities. So
you're well-rounded. You don't just go to work and come home. You definitely are very involved in the community, which is really cool. Neat. Well, since our podcast is geared towards newborns, I know you work with all ages of children. And a lot of parents actually ask me this, if they're expecting it's their first baby and they're kind of pediatrician shopping or looking around to see who's going to be a good fit for them. Can you talk a little bit about some things a new family with a newborn can do to make sure that they pick a great pediatrician, or during the interview process, some questions they could ask? And also the loaded question, which we talk about this a lot in the hospital, is when should a family look into finding a pediatrician?
Right. So I think the earlier, the better. Is to start looking and asking those questions, because, you know, you're going to find out very quickly that babies are not on your timeline. They're on their own. So you may think, I've got a whole month before I have to pick out a pediatrician, and guess what? The next day they show up. So it's good to be prepared. I think first thing is to just make sure, you know, you have people in your community who have young kids, ask who they see. If they're your friends and they really have a great relationship with their pediatrician or their family practice doctor or nurse practitioner, there's a high chance that you may like them too. So I think asking just for direct recommendations from your friend group is a great place to start. Once you kind of have a list of some names, I think it's really helpful then to make sure that whoever you pick is board certified, meaning that they've gone through the proper training so that they are, you know, the experts in newborn care. And so being board certified ensures that you have met that, you know, that level of being able to competently care for children and newborns. And then I think going to interview a few people. I'm a big believer in a gut instinct. I don't think you necessarily have to go with a set list of questions. If there are certain things that are like deal breakers, yes, definitely ask those questions. But I think it's more important to just kind of listen to your gut. It's like when you meet somebody, you know very quickly, hey, this is somebody that I'd like to spend more time with, because quite frankly, your pediatrician, you spend a lot of time with, in that first year of life, first 2 years of life. So you want it to be somebody that you really enjoy. I think it's always important too, because we're so busy, ask about, you know, means of communication within the office. You know, how can I contact you? When can I contact you? How do I make appointments? You know, those kind of like nuts and bolts things too, which are so important in our busy lives. I think those are really good questions to ask. But again, ultimately, I think gut instinct. Sometimes parents are like, well, I'm having a boy, so should I get a male physician? Or I'm having a girl, should I get a female physician? And what I tell parents is that, you know, I think it's more important for you to be comfortable with whoever you're discussing your child's care with when they're young. A lot of my, you know, male patients, as they become adolescents, transfer to one of my partners who's a man because they feel more comfortable. And we expect that. And we want our patients to be comfortable. So I think in the first 5 to 8 to 10 years of life, it's more important that the parent be comfortable with a provider that they've chosen. And you're not stuck with anybody. Here's the other thing. Sometimes you think that you found the right pediatrician, and as time moves on, you're like, ah, this may not be a good fit. Rather than stay in a relationship that's not working, this is probably a good life rule, rather than stay in a relationship that's not working, find a relationship that does work better for you.
And to touch what you just, or to touch on what you just talked about, a lot of pediatricians have groups. So like, let's say I came in on a Monday and you weren't there, I might not see you, but I might see some of the other doctors in your group. Is that how your office still works?
That's correct. Yes, okay. That is correct. Okay. And so, you know, and again, I tell, you know, my patients in our practice is that, you know, you're not going to love everybody I work with, but they all are coming from the same knowledge base. You're not going to get one set of advice one day and something, you know, drastically different the next. There's going to be people just in life that you like better than you do others, but it is important that there's kind of some consistency amongst the providers in the group that you're seeing, sure, that you're not getting X advice one day and then Y advice the next, because that gets very confusing.
I bet. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about newborns. And once the baby arrives and the baby's here and the parents come to the first couple of visits with you, what are some of the most frequently asked questions that you receive from families that have newborns?
That's a great question. I made a list And I'm Perfect. Sure I've left tons of things off because there are tons of questions. So I'm just going to kind of start from the head and work our way down to the feet of the questions Perfect. That I get. So commonly head shape concerns, babies, when they're first born, their heads tend to look not very cute, which is why it's good just to keep a cap on top of their head so you don't have to look at it. A lot of that is very, very normal. There can be swelling, the head can be misshapen, it can be red, it can be bruised, it can be crusty, it can be all kinds of things, most of which are entirely normal and resolve, thankfully, very, very quickly. But that's a common question. We get common questions about the eyes, that they don't align, which they should not when they're first born because they don't see very well, about eye discharge, about jaundice to the eyes, lots of questions there. Also lots of questions. I'm sure you get a lot of this in your line of work as well about frenulums. And every how day. That impacts latching. And, some frenulums, to me, a frenulum is important to address if it's affecting function. If it's not affecting function, it's usually something that can kind of be left alone. But again, your pediatrician, your newborn nurse consultant, your lactation consultant, all of those can help kind of direct you as to whether it's been causing a functional problem for you. Let's see, belly buttons, another common thing. What do I do with them? They're kind of gross. The good news is they fall off very quickly. Things have changed. Just in the 19 years I've been practicing, initially we would do alcohol swabs and, clean them. And now we just treat it like a scab. You just let it dry, leave it alone, and it's going to fall off on its own in about 2 weeks, more or less. What else? Hiccups. Sneezing, very distressing to parents, very normal for a baby. It's just part of the whole process of kind of learning to breathe air. But again, the hiccups especially can be full body shakes and look really kind of scary or uncomfortable, but frankly, it doesn't bother the baby at all. Lots of questions about circumcisions. Should we do them? Should we not do them? What technique should we use? That's really a good decision to have. I'm kind of surprised by the number of families who haven't decided whether they want to circumcise their son by the time they arrive at the hospital. So that is something that's good to think about, talk about. That's why it's great to have a pediatrician picked out, because that's their doctor who's going to be doing the procedure. So you know the person doing the procedure, and they can kind of walk you through what to expect with that. Mm-hmm. From my standpoint, circumcisions are just parental preference. There's really not going to be a huge medical necessity to do circumcisions. But again, it really relies on the preference of the family, whether they would like to do it or not do it. And there's several different techniques of doing it, all of which are incredibly safe and have the same result. So again, I think asking your pediatrician specifically what method they use and going through that makes really good sense. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I wasn't going to say anything. You're good.
Okay. Bowed legs. It's another one. Parents are very worried that their babies legs are not straight. They're packaged 9 months, like crisscross applesauce. So their legs are going to come out quite bowed. And that's very normal. Typically you can certainly ask your pediatrician. There can be some things to be on the lookout for, but generally speaking, that's going to be a normal finding. Nail trimming is another one. Parents are often worried about their little nails and their little daggers, and they scratch their little faces. Generally, and just advising families to file those little nails down. Definitely don't want to clip them, but you can just file off the little edges. I prefer, and every family feels different, every pediatrician feels different. I kind of like to leave their hands open. I think that's kind of how they explore their world. So I'm not a big fan of mitts. I think better just to kind of file those nails down every day, and that usually prevents them from getting their little face scratched. Lots of rashes also with newborns. They have some scary names, some of them, all of which are pretty normal. Babies can have full-on acne related to mom's hormones. They can have what look like little mosquito bites, which are normal and move around. They're called erythema toxicum, which is like the worst name ever because it sounds like some
toxic
horrible
something.
Tropical disease. Yes. And then babies can develop like, little hemangiomas where 2-3 weeks later, suddenly they have a little blob of vascular tissue. That's pretty scary, but again, very normal. So lots of questions. I don't think I even hit like the tip of the iceberg with all those.
Those are good. Those are a good starting place. I feel like I get a lot of the same ones as well, especially frenulums and rashes. I feel like those are the nails. Frenulums, rashes, and nails. Those tend to be the three biggest ones. Hey everyone, this is Rachel from The Newborn Nurse. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you are learning some valuable and helpful information on this podcast. If you would like to learn even more, we have something new and exciting to tell you about. We have created our Newborn Care 101 online video course for first-time expectant parents or parents who want a refresher course in newborns. This course is taught by me, a neonatal newborn nurse and expert of 18 years and founder of The Newborn Nurse. It's so super important to make sure you are gathering your newborn information from a trusted and experienced source as you prepare for your baby. This course is a series of educational videos where you will learn everything you need to know about newborn care all in one spot without having to search and scroll all over the internet. You can take this course in the comfort of your own home and nursery with your own baby equipment and at your own pace. You can also rewatch the videos as many times as you would like with unlimited access to these videos for an entire year. Many of the families who have already taken this course have reached out to tell me how helpful it is to go back and be able to review these videos once their baby has arrived. In this course, you will learn swaddling, diapering, bathing, breastfeeding, bottle feeding, burping, cord care, how to use your breast pump in car seat, how to prevent mastitis, calm a fussy baby, and much, much more. You also get free printables, including a checklist of what to pack in your hospital bag, a must-haves product list for your baby registry, and the best part, you get free access to our Facebook online community group where you can meet other new moms and also have access to me, Rachel, for any newborn questions you have along your journey. The families who have taken this course already have raved about it and have felt it has been super helpful and allowed them to feel prepared, organized, ready, and knowledgeable about their newborn. For our podcast listeners, you can receive 10% off this course with coupon code, all caps, podcast, at the checkout. The link to purchase this course is in the show notes below. Thank you for being here and best wishes to you and your family. I hope you feel loved, supported, and empowered as a new parent. Thanks so much and have a great day. If a family comes in with their newborn, what does a newborn assessment look like? If you're going to do a head-to-toe assessment on a newborn, what does that look like?
Yeah, so usually we'll have the family come in and they undress their baby and get them down to a clean, dry diaper. Our nurses in our office, and I'm sure physicians in other offices, but we get them weighed on a scale just with their diaper. We get a link. We try to our best to stretch them out, but they are a little scrunched initially. And we do a measurement around their head to check the size of their head circumference, which helps kind of us gauge, is their brain growing appropriately? Then after reviewing those, we usually review those with the parents. We want to make sure, it's not imperative necessarily that a child be a certain percentile, but it is important that they continue to follow that percentile. So essentially, if a child is the 20th percentile for their height, that means if there's 100 babies their age, 80 are taller, 20 are shorter. So we want to see them continue along that path, 20th percentile. If suddenly they were to stop growing and go from the 20th to the 10th, to the 5th, to the 2nd, that would be worrisome. Sometimes parents come in and they're worried that the number seems low, but I'm like, they're growing beautifully. So we don't need to get too hung up on that. But we review those information with the family. Then we typically try to do quiet things first before we make the baby upset. So we'll listen to their heart because it's very important to make sure we don't hear any extra heart sounds and to make sure that their rhythm is nice and regular. We listen to their lungs to make sure that they're nice and clear. We feel the top of their head to make sure that their fontanelle or their soft spot is open, that we don't feel any lumps or bumps that would suggest that the skull is prematurely fusing. We look at their mouth, we check the top of their mouth to make sure that there's no gaps or, holes or anything that would suggest a palatal deformity. Then of course, check their neck, their clavicles, which is a common area that kids can sometimes fracture when they're delivered. Mm-hmm. We check their spine and we look at the top of their buttocks to make sure there's not a deep dimple there. that can be associated with some spine abnormalities. So we look at that. And then we look in their diaper area for boys to make sure both of their testicles are descended, to make sure if they had a circumcision that that's healing well. You know, for girls, we just, you know, check to make sure that there's not significant swelling. We look for diaper rashes. We frequently will see quite a bit of vaginal discharge when girls are first born, and sometimes even bloody vaginal discharge, which is really typical. And then we do a little evaluation of their hips to make sure they're well placed in their sockets, that they don't easily displace. And that's kind of it. I mean, and then you check pulses, I should say that, and, you know, just a general exam of the skin. So it's a pretty thorough exam, but also can be done pretty quickly, believe it or not.
Probably like 10 minutes or less.
10 minutes or less. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then, you know, we talk to parents about, you know, any concerns or any specific things on their body that they're worried about, because sometimes the exam will be entirely normal, but a parent's concerned.
Sure.
For example, there's a little bone that kind of is called a xiphoid process that hangs down from their breastbone that's very prominent. And that's another common question I get, is like, what's this bony thing in the middle of their kind of almost abdomen? I'm like, it's normal. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be there. But, you know, it's important to ask those questions and to make sure you feel empowered, that even if the doctor tells you everything's normal, so just double check if you're concerned something may not be.
And always trust your mommy gut instinct. If there's something that's bothering you, always bring it to your pediatrician for sure. I always love to ask everyone that I interview to talk about expectations versus reality with a newborn in their field, because I feel like with social media, expectations and reality can be pretty skewed lately. Moms see the beautiful pictures of the, you know, strollers and all the outfits, and I feel like a lot of moms are struggling because they think that's what the reality of having a newborn is like. So I try to, you know, be realistic with them on expectations. So can you touch a little bit on that, about what you can really expect with a new baby in regards to sleep and life and all the different things?
Right. Well, let me first touch on the fact that, you know, the baby industry, in terms of all the stuff associated with newborns, is a $1 billion industry. And so their job is to make you feel like you have to have all of these things or you're failing as a parent. And frankly, there's very little that you need when you bring your newborn home. So frequently I'll have parents who've panicked that the room's not done and this isn't done and that's not done. And it's okay. One, your newborn's not going to tell anybody that the paint is on the wall. So that's good. But you just don't need this stuff. You need diapers, whatever choice of diaper. I really like initially a bassinet or a pack and play to go next to your bed, regardless of whether you're breast or formula feeding. You know, if you're going to be breastfeeding, I think it's helpful to maybe have a pump or have an idea of what you want in regards to a pump, because that certainly can be helpful. And the supplies that are associated with that. I like just the gowns for babies, boys or girls, with the elastic at the bottom. You don't need anything with a zipper. You do not, definitely don't need anything with a snap. That's an IQ test. All new parents fail. And frankly, well-rested pediatricians fail that test most of the time too, to align these snaps up. So you don't need a lot. You know, at your baby showers, a lot of times people, the things they enjoy buying most are the tiny little clothes. So I encourage parents to put their kids in those tiny little clothes, because you save this beautiful dress thinking they're going to have some occasion to wear it, and they grow out of it before mm-hmm. they do. So just put your baby in that dress, even if nothing's going on that day. So, you know, those are the kind of things. You just need very, very few things to really be ready for your baby at home. I think we don't set very realistic expectations for families, moms especially, about what the newborn period is like, because it really is survival mode. And I feel like we don't put enough emphasis, although it's a happy occasion, it certainly is a very stressful occasion.
By the way, for a while, I think a lot of people think, right. Oh, this will be a week or two weeks. It's like for a little while of the sleeplessness and to set that expectation of like, you're going to be tired for a couple of months, probably maybe more.
Yeah. Maybe more. Yeah. And it's okay. I mean, everybody kind of finds a way to get through it. They ask for help. And they, I encourage people to ask for help when they need it. But it is a complete disruption in your life. And I think a lot of parents are very thoughtful about, okay, I'm at the time of my life that I want to have children and I'm going to, you know, do this and that. And they have everything really concrete of how they're going to do it. But once that person is here, they're a tiny little dictator and things may not work to your schedule. And so I think it's good to have ideas of how you want to proceed, but not be so locked into that, that you're not flexible, because with a newborn, the flexibility is the key to survival, truly.
Yeah.
And then good friends and good family. And at the end of the day, if somebody says, can I, the answer should always be yes.
And don't feel bad about it either.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And for friends who might be listening, you know, everybody wants to hold the baby, right? But what new moms really need is, can I clean your house? Can I run and get groceries? Can I pick your other child up from school? Can, I mean, those are the things that new moms really need. And so to be a good friend, I think, is to ask to do some of those tasks, or not even ask, just say, hey, this is what I'm going to do today.
Yeah.
And that really takes a load off of moms. And I think partners really need to advocate, you know, for the mom as well, because it's a particularly vulnerable time. And it is really difficult, I think, sometimes to advocate for yourself. There's a lot of pressures put on new moms. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day who had a newborn, and she was out, and somebody said, yeah, can I hold your baby? And scooped in and grabbed the baby. And, you know, in my estimation, if a new mom wants you to hold their baby, they're going to ask you, would you like to hold my baby? Otherwise, you shouldn't ask.
Sure.
Because you put them, you just don't want to put a mom in a position where she has to say no, or she has to be the bad guy. It's a difficult enough time. We should, as a community, support our moms any way that we can. So,
yeah, that's great. Also with our services, obviously we do a lot of this, but, if you are going to go hold the baby, do it while mom is getting a shower or getting a nap or kind of doing something for herself, you know,
absolutely.
She wants to hold her baby too. So if she can do something for herself while you're holding that baby, that's even better. So
that's a great point.
Yes. Okay. So moving along, when a family is discharged home from the hospital or birth center with their newborn, when can they expect to return to the pediatrician for a first visit? And what do those first few visits kind of look like? Like, how frequently are they right after birth?
Right. So it can vary. So especially first time nursing moms, we usually get you in within the first 3 days at most. So for example, if you were discharged on a Friday, I would expect to be seen by Monday. But maybe sooner. You know, we expect all babies to lose some weight when they're first born, 10-12%. So if we're getting close to that mark, sometimes we'll see babies back sooner. The other issue that can occur, of course, is jaundice. And then, you know, that sometimes requires a next day follow-up. Mm-hmm. And so depending upon how babies gain weight back, how nursing's going, how mom's milk production's going, or if we're having jaundice with issues, you know, issues with jaundice, excuse me, we could end up being back, you know, pretty frequently. You know, I have some kids with jaundice who I see every day for 3 or 4 days till we kind of get to that 5 day point where things start to settle out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, moms who are at birthing centers, we typically want to see them within 24 hours as well. And again, most pediatric offices are going to have those hours. They're going to have the Saturday and Sunday hours where you're going to be able to be seen. And that's an important question to know, that you have somebody available or at least means of checking in on you on those weekends or holidays.
Yeah, that's a good thing to ask. I had a family who we're caring for, or we cared for a couple months back, and they were trying to get a hold of their pediatrician on the weekend and they couldn't get a hold of them. So to have a 24/7 service where you can speak to somebody about an issue, I think is super important when you're researching pediatrician offices, because you don't want to be, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, you can't get a hold of anyone if you have an issue. So I think that's super important. So what are some things that a family would need to call the pediatrician for while we're talking about that? What are maybe some issues or things that they would definitely need to call or go in for kind of immediately that aren't emergent?
Right. So that's a great question. So I think, again, kind of circling back to questions to ask when you're interviewing doctors is, again, how can I get in touch with you? So I think if you are ever concerned, it's a good reason to reach out to your pediatrician. So that doesn't necessarily mean reach out to them at midnight, but if you have a concern or question and it's pressing and it's bothering you, it's worth sending a message. So a lot of pediatricians' offices now have the ability where you can send a text or you can send a message through a patient portal. And that's a great way if you feel like this is a question I'm concerned about, but maybe isn't emergent, ask that question. You know, as pediatricians, we expect to hear, especially from new families, new babies, frequently, and we're there for that. If you are worried and we can allay some fears, that's what we want to do. In terms of things that are emergent questions that should not wait till the next day, should not wait till the next hour, a fever of 100.4 or 38 degrees Celsius is an emergency in a newborn, and that necessitates an immediate phone call. So I do suggest if people are uncomfortable doing rectal temperatures, and that's really the only accurate way to do a temperature in a newborn, make sure you, before your discharge, you ask the nurse to show you how to do a rectal temperature, because that's super important. There's a big difference, believe it or not, between 100.3 and 100.4 in terms of how we treat a newborn. Yeah. So that for sure is an emergency. If you have a baby who is having distressed breathing, breathing very fast, skin sucking in between their ribs, tummy moving up and down, hard to breathe, that would necessitate a phone call. Now, babies will do periodic breathing where they'll breathe fast and then they'll slow and breathe fast and slow. That's typical. But if you have a baby who's persistently having distressed breathing, that would be a reason to call your pediatrician right away. Babies sometimes will skip feeds. That's okay, but if they skip more than one feed, especially in that newborn period, I think that would be a good reason to make a phone call. It's hard, you know, if we have diarrhea, I will sometimes have parents call. The diarrhea can be a really difficult thing to ascertain because newborns, breastfed newborns, can have watery stools, which are normal. So to me, a diarrhea wouldn't necessarily be consistency, but an increase, sudden increase in frequency of stooling would be a reason to call your pediatrician. If you have a baby that you cannot arouse, or you have a baby that you cannot console, that would be another good reason to call your pediatrician. And at the end of the day, even if you feel like it's nothing, but your gut says something's really wrong, we would rather you call us. And we would much rather you call us than go to the emergency department, where you set yourself up for risk of other types of infections and things like that. So, you know, at the end of the day, if your pediatrician wants to hear from you if you're worried, and if it's definitely one of those things or your gut says something seriously wrong, it's worth a phone call.
Mm-hmm. I tell all of our moms, like, trump me, trump your doctor. If your gut instinct tells you that something is wrong, you're probably right, because I feel like the mommy gut instinct is extremely accurate and on point. So always listen to that for sure. So if someone is interested in using you as their pediatrician or contacting your office, can you tell us how they can get a hold of you?
Oh, that's a great question. So me personally, I work at Tennessee Pediatrics in Murfreesboro. Probably the best way to reach us is our office line at 615-890-9008. And that's a great way. And I'm taking new patients. I love new patients. I love new tiny babies. I love educating people. I like walking people through this stage in life. I think it's super fun and rewarding. Definitely available.
Cool. Well, thank you for coming on today. I appreciate your time. If there's anything else you want to talk about or review or any other nuggets of newborn information, we can go over that. But if not, I think we pretty much covered our entire checklist here.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me again. It's been exciting to watch this program really blossom. You know, you really saw a niche that wasn't being met. And my only complaint is that you did not have a newborn nurse when I had Quinn, because, you know, people think as a pediatrician, you know babies, but it's a different experience when you're a new mama, regardless of what your educational background is. And so that's the only thing I'm upset about. But otherwise, I love what you do, appreciate what you do, have lots of friends and patients. who have used your services, and I'm just very impressed.
Thank you so much. I miss working with you. I'm not in the hospital anymore, so I miss seeing your face, but thank you for coming on today, and thank you for all this wonderful information. I'm sure it will help a lot of families, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
If you loved what you heard on our podcast today, don't forget you can learn even more with our new Newborn Care 101 online video course. This course is taught by me, a newborn registered nurse expert, and covers all kinds of newborn education, including swaddling, diapering, bathing, breastfeeding, how to use your breast pump and car seat, sleep training, and much, much more. You also get free access to our online course community, which gives you direct access to me, Rachel, for any newborn questions along the way. Our podcast listeners get a special discount, so make sure to use coupon code PODCAST in all caps at the checkout. The link to purchase this course is in show notes below. Thanks so much and have a great day.
Although I am a nurse, I am not your medical provider, and any information from me is purely educational and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a professional for your particular situation before making any decisions. My opinion about any brands we mention on the podcast is based on my personal experience and is not an endorsement about the suitability of any products for your particular needs.